It says on the board there, it says Bob Cooper for sermon. Not really going to give a sermon as such. This is going to be a synopsis, I guess, of a very, very important book that we find in the Bible. In chapter 8 of Proverbs, starting with verse 32, it says, "And now listen to me, O sons, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not refuse it. Blessed is the man who hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and shall obtain favor from Jehovah. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and all who hate me love death." That's just one of the very many wise sayings that we find in the book of Proverbs. After the two-week Bible study that starts very shortly at Nixa, we are going to begin a series of lessons on Wednesday evening pertaining to the thoughts from Proverbs. So it's my intention today to introduce to us what the book of Proverbs is about. And I don't know if you've ever studied Proverbs, but in my research of this, I learned some things, and I hope that maybe this will be something that will be helpful to you also. On August the 8th, Kevin Ferguson will present us a lesson on wisdom and folly. And then following his lesson, we'll have a series of other lessons that other brethren here will proceed to give. Now, when the rabbis wrote about this book, they call it, or when they wrote things that came from this book, they call it the Book of Wisdom. But if you turn your Bibles to Proverbs, and the very first verse says this: "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." And the reason that it says that is because Proverbs, really, most of Proverbs, the largest majority of Proverbs is or has come from wise sayings that Solomon has written. And since Solomon was considered the wisest man to walk the earth, his writings do make up the majority of these wise sayings. Now, I don't want you to get the idea that all the things that he wrote are in this book. Actually, I did a little figuring. Only about 27% of all the Proverbs that he ever wrote is in this book. I can prove that to you by reading the scripture, 1 Kings 4:29 through 32. "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all other men." And then it gives a list of men. I'm not going to read those. Then and then at the end of that, it says, "His fame was in all the surrounding nations." Verse 32, "He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. But in reality, only approximately 800 proverbs, or 800 of these wise sayings, are in the book of Proverbs. Okay, like I say, you figure that up, that's about 27%. Then also, we have chapter 30 and chapter 31 that was written by two different men. One was called Agur, and the other one was called King Lemuel. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have very many original ideas. I suspect Solomon had several. But I think even Solomon probably took ideas from other men and improved on those. And I get that idea looking at Ecclesiastes 12 and 9. Ecclesiastes 12 and 9 was, of course, we know Ecclesiastes wrote Solomon. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, I'm saying. But in 12 and 9, here's what it says: "And further, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs." So I suspect back in those days there were lots of proverbs. I think there were several people in Egypt that wrote proverbs. And Solomon sought these out and probably improved on them and made them to say what should be said. Of course, the key word to Proverbs is what? What? Wisdom. That's right. Wisdom could be defined as the ability to live life skillfully. I'm sure there's other definitions that would be just as good or better. Of course, Kevin is going to expand upon this definition when he gives his speech about wisdom. Now, Solomon used a combination of poetry, parables, pithy questions, short stories, and wise maxims to deliver his message, to give this divine perspective to the challenges that people face from day to day. Things that you can use in your interaction with one another, with all the world around you. These sayings pertain to anyone that is alive, any person. These things are good. So I want to look at some of these examples, and I've listed these literary tools on the board over here, and then we're going to kind of go down through them and look at them and see how Solomon has used these in his writings. The first one we're going to look at is poetry. Now, some of you may have, you probably can't see this, it's pretty small, but it's really kind of a bookmarker. And I've carried this thing ever since I was a young boy. And it shows these books stacked up in a bookcase. Some of you probably have this. And it says the Old Testament law, and it shows Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy on one shelf. Then on the other shelf, it shows history. And then on one of the shelves, it says poetry. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And I used to look at that, and I used to think, now, I don't get that. Why do they call that poetry? It never did make sense to me, but I just never gave much thought about it, you know. Well, you know, when we think of poetry, English poetry anyway, we think of lines that rhyme, and we think of meter, you know. Roses are red, violets are blue. Sugar is sweet and so are you. Okay? Things like that. Okay? Things that rhyme. Okay? But in Hebrew poetry, it's not like that. Hebrew poetry uses what they call parallelism. And I wrote on the board over here the types of parallelisms that there are. Synonymous, antithetic, and synthetic. Okay? Well, in geometry, if something is parallel, what do you have? Well, something parallel in geometry, it's lines that extend in a similar direction at a constant distance apart. But in literature, something that's parallel is something that has similarity or likeness. We say it is parallel. And that's what this is about. Poetry that is parallelism. Okay? And so I want to kind of talk about and give you some examples of these type of parallelisms that we find in the book of Proverbs. And they're repeated over and over in several places in the book of Proverbs. The first one we're going to look at is synonymous parallelism. Of course, coming from the word synonym, which means what? Synonym is something that's alike. Okay, something that's alike. Okay, this is a feature where the second line repeats the thought of the first line, but uses different words. The repetition intensifies the thoughts and feelings being expressed. Okay, let me give you an example of that. This is Proverbs 19:5. A false witness will not go unpunished. And he who speaks lies will not escape. This is synonymous parallelism. The repetition intensifies the thought and the feelings in the second line. Okay? Now let's look at antithetic parallelism. Antithetic being the part of the word antithesis. Well, if you write a thesis, what do you do when you write a thesis? Anybody ever write a thesis? Okay. Well, get your master's or whatever in education. You have to write a thesis. Well, you have to write a paper, and you on this paper you have several things that correspond with each other to make a point. Okay? Well, antithesis, excuse me, antithesis is a contrast or opposition of ideas. The exact opposite. Okay? So, in this second one, antithetic comes from the word antithesis. there's a contrast of opposition of ideas. The second line is the opposite of the first. And this particular parallelism is the most prominent in the book of Proverbs. I'll give you an example. This is Proverbs 19 and 16. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. One line gives one point, the next line gives the opposite. Let's go to synthetic parallelism. Okay, anybody use synthetic oil in your car? What's synthetic oil? What? It's not natural. It's a blend of several components, right, that make up the oil. Okay? So, if you think of it in terms of something synthetic, this synthetic comes from the word synthesis, is the combining parts or elements to make the whole. Okay? So, in this poetic style, a second line advances the thought of the first. Each line is synonymous, but each additional line adds to the thought of the first, making it more specific. So here's an example. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Now, in researching this, I also found some other literary devices that are used. And people that are real familiar with literature and English and stuff will recognize these. Without my research, I probably wouldn't be able to give you a very good definition, but I'll talk about these four things here. A simile is a comparison using the words like or as. A simile. Comparison using the words like or as. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. That's Proverbs 4:18 and 19. All right? So you'll find some of those in the book of Proverbs. You also find metaphors. Metaphor is a comparison made not using the word like or as. It just says it. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Just says it. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Proverbs 15 and 4. Now this other tool, I think we're probably familiar with that, personification. Personification is where you actually take a thing or an object and make it as though it's a person. An inanimate thing are given characteristics of living things. Now, here's a good example. Chapter 8 talks about wisdom, but it personifies wisdom and pretends that it's a lady. Okay? Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the hill. the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet, she cries out by the gates at the entry of the city and at the entrance of the doors. To you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Proverbs 8, 1 through 3. So personification. This last one, I guess I'd never thought about this one at all. Mathematical emphasis. But it's a number. It's numbers that are used for emphasis and as an aid to memorization. Here's a good example. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. Proverbs 6:16. And you could probably think of other verses. I don't have time to give any more, but there's several more that you could use. All right, now the next on our list over here is parables. So let's look at the tool of parables that are used in Proverbs. A parable is a literary device in which a story demonstrates a principal idea or a lesson. Okay, of course we're familiar with parables that Jesus gave. Okay, here's a parable that you find in Proverbs 6:6-11. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When you arise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. That's a parable. Story demonstrating a principle or an idea. All right, let's go to pithy questions. This is a tool that we see in the book of Proverbs. A pithy question is something that's concise and full of meaning. Proverbs 6:27-28 is a good example. This is a question now. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? Okay, pithy question. Short stories. You probably, when I looked at this, I thought, well, short stories. Right off the top of my head, I didn't think of any short story necessarily, but there's probably more than you might think. I'm going to give you an example. Proverbs 7:6-23. For at the window of my house I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple. I have perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening at the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face she says to him, I had to offer sacrifice, and today I have paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linen from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and alloys and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him, and a full moon he will come home. And with much seductive speech she persuades him. With her smooth talk she compels him. All at once he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces its liver, and as a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. A short story, full of meaning. Let's go to number 5 on our list, wise maxims. A maxim is a concise rule of conduct, or a precept. Lots of those in the book of Proverbs. I'll give you a couple examples. Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the main thing. Get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. We taught this next one to our children up here in our drill. think Dwayne introduced this one. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A concise rule of conduct, a precept. Something for us to keep in our hearts. Now, I'm sure you could divide the book of Proverbs up in more ways than one, but in my Bible, it gives an outline, and I thought it was a pretty good outline. It divides it up in the, of course, the introduction, which gives the purpose of the proverb. That's chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. And then in chapters 1, verse 8, all the way to verse chapter 9 through 18, it gives proverbs that pertain to the youth. Then, chapter 10 through 24, these are general proverbs of Solomon. Then chapter 25 through 29, these are proverbs of Solomon copied by King Hezekiah's men. And it tells us that, 25 and 1. Then the words of Agur are in chapter 30, and the words of King Lemuel are in chapter 31. Now if we break those down a little bit, we might look at the purpose of Proverbs. To have knowledge of wise teachings. To be clear about the words of reason. To acquire the discipline of wise behavior. Righteousness, justice, and fairness. To give sense to the simple. Knowledge and judgment to the young man. A wise person will listen and continue to learn, and an understanding person will gain direction. Then it also says that he shall understand a parable and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their mysterious sayings. That's the introduction. It's only seven verses long. But if we was to put that in a nutshell, Proverbs deals with obtaining skills that helps one to be righteous before God in his everyday way of life. Because in your everyday way of life, you run into all kinds of problems and complications and challenges, don't you? The book of Proverbs helps you deal with those. Now, when I chapters 1, verse 8 through chapter 9, verse 18 are proverbs about the youth. And as you look at this passage, I counted 12 different times that they use the phrase, "my son." And it's as though a father is talking to his son or his siblings. Okay, I don't think it's just to sons only, but I think it's to siblings. Okay, and it is designed to steer his siblings in the path of wisdom. And I'll just give you a couple, and I'm not going to read all 12 of them, but chapter 1, verse 8. "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." All right, and then another one, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." Okay, just a couple examples. There's at least 12 of those. Well, the father talks about several areas of life in which wisdom will help the youth gain reward and to avoid or escape the grip of sin. Some of these, rejecting the invitation of crime and wickedness, providing freedom and safety through wisdom, protection from the consequences of illicit sensuality, adultery, and the allure of the harlot, discouraging laziness and other foolish practices, providing rich benefits over folly and becoming a fool. So these are the instructions that the father gives to the youth. Now, chapter 10 through 24. These are Proverbs of Solomon in general. And we can kind of break them down, really, into kind of three parts. Chapter 10 through 15. Now, not all of them, but the majority of the verses contrast right from wrong. And I never had really thought about that. I never had really categorized that. But this fits the up here, anesthetic parallelism. Okay, contrasting right from wrong. Okay. Chapter, let me give you an example. Chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Okay. Okay, chapter 16 through 22. Majority of verses use synonymous parallelism, pairing together identical or similar principles. I'll turn over to chapter 16, verse 28. Give you an example. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisper separates the best of friends. Okay? Things that are synonymous. Chapter 22 through 29, a series of wise maxims on various subjects. Let me give you an example. Chapter 24, verse 17 and 18. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it, and it displeases him, and he turns away his wrath from him. Okay, these are wise maxims. Now, when you get to chapter 25, it says, verse 1, it says, these are the proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. And these proverbs are really just kind of, I'm going to say, somewhat of a repeat, I guess you might say, of the other ones. Not necessarily a repeat, but expounding on similar things that were in the chapter 10 through 15. Or yes. Now, and that runs from chapter 25 to 29, the things copied down by Hezekiah's men. Then we get to chapter 5. Which is the words of Agur. Now, these two fellows in chapter 30 and 31, really, we don't know. I don't know that they're really mentioned any other place. We don't know very much about these wise men. But Agur is an unknown sage whose material is given in clusters of numerical proverbs. Not everything he says is in numerical, but some of them, and I'll give you an example. Chapter 30, starting with verse 18, it says, there are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, and the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a virgin. So he uses numerical numbers in his Proverbs. Then when we get to chapter 30, one of the most famous chapters of the book of Proverbs. These are words of King Lemuel, which were spoken to him by who? His father or his mother? They were words spoken to him by his mother. Okay, chapter 31. He begins with good advice about not wasting his strength on women and strong drink. And I think it's really... I think she wanted her son to have some high standards. If you want to be a king, don't waste yourself, don't waste your youth on women and strong drink. And then it talks about strong drink and what that would do for someone that was a king. That to be a good king and to have strong drink doesn't mix. We have that example, don't we, in the Bible. What king can you think of that was involved in strong drink that caused him problems? Who? David? Okay. I'm not... What story are you thinking about?
I may be wrong on that.
I can't think of one right now. The one that comes to my mind is... Who?